Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in, locked in, all over North America. I hope you had a tremendous day. I hope you had a tremendous evening. I hope you're having a tremendous night. It depends on where you live. Either way, I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 375, and a smart speaker. If you have one, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Patricia Traynor for coming through to talk to us about the firing of Brian Daboll as the head coach of the New York Giants. You missed that conversation with Patricia? Rewind on the free Odyssey app. We just talked about the Buffalo Bills. Looks like the Patriots are in a good position to win the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills, they got some work to do, okay? I mean, they took that loss to the Miami Dolphins yesterday. I mean, even Mike McDaniel is outside trolling Bills fans. I guess you got to find the joy whenever you can. Joe Burrow is back to practicing. Good for him. Looks like he's going to try to make his season debut. Well, not his season debut. He's going to try to debut again against the Baltimore Ravens on Thanksgiving Day. Let's see if it happens. And it looks like Brock Purdy might be back as well. Okay, Brock Purdy could be making his return next Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. Hey, we're about 15 minutes away from kickoff. Monday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers are about to go at it. We talked about how bad Buffalo looked. Man, we didn't get into how bad the Steelers look. We'll get there as well. Yeah, we got a lot of people not looking good right now. Brian Daboll gets fired. Looks like Kyler Murray is getting pushed out in Arizona. Got Buffalo staking a joint up right now. There's just a lot of bad things going on all over the NFL. So we got more to do as the show continues on. If you want to call, you want to be a part of the show, you can do so. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. How about this? In another 20 minutes, we're going to talk some more football. We're going to have a conversation with Luke Easterling. Covers all things NFL for Athlon Sports. So he'll be here with us, and we'll take a wider kind of view into everything going on in the NFL right now. From this seven-game winning streak of the New England Patriots, we'll take a look at the Rams who are rolling. Man, even Michael Taylor, nobody's talking about what he's doing. You know, right now, Jonathan Taylor. Nobody's talking about what he's doing with the Indianapolis Colts, having one of the best seasons by a running back in quite some time. I know Saquon went crazy last year. Jonathan Taylor, he could be an MVP candidate, but who gives a damn about the running backs? The answer is nobody. And so we'll have that conversation and chat with Luke in about 20 minutes. Man. There's so much football news going on. And I get it. It's November. Snowed here in Atlanta today after being beautiful yesterday. It's just, things are real up and down. Life is all about balance, right? You get good news, you get bad news. You get the positive, you get the negative. Major League Baseball, it was only a week ago, last Monday, that the Los Angeles Dodgers were celebrating their championship, beating the Toronto Blue Jays in seven games, the most watched World Series in God only knows how long, probably more than 10 years, maybe more than that. And that's the positive for baseball. Well, then, I mean, this story has been brewing since the summertime. And yesterday, today, we got some bad news for baseball. Listen to this report from NBC News.
Tonight, a bombshell rocking the baseball world with an explosive new indictment unsealed today, charging two Cleveland Guardians pitchers in connection with an alleged bet-rigging scheme.
I think it's huge. First reaction was shock.
Prosecutors say Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz intentionally threw balls instead of strikes on certain pitches in exchange for bribes or kickbacks from sports bettors. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York saying it started as early as May 2023, first with Clase before Ortiz joined. The pair are charged with conspiracy, fraud, bribery, and more. Prosecutors writing in part that the players illegally enriched themselves and their co-conspirators misled the public and betrayed America's pastime.
Listen, they ain't gonna be the first guys. They were not the first to betray America's pastime or their fans, and they will not be the last. I mean, damn it, we talked about this on Friday. We had six players, NCAA basketball players, who have been banned from college athletics for trying to, you know, alter the numbers and what they did to make some money. And then in the case of Emmanuel Clase, man, a couple of seasons ago, this guy's ERA was microscopic. He was the best closer in Major League Baseball. And now he's nowhere to be found, by the way. And so Luis Ortiz already was arraigned and did his walk in a tracksuit. We don't know where Emmanuel Clase is. Apparently, he's not in the country. Hopefully this doesn't end up like one of those situations with Antonio Brown where you have to be extradited, you know, back into the United States of America to face your charges. But can I be shocked? No. Are you shocked? You shouldn't be. Nobody should be surprised by what's taking place. And one of the articles that I read, they actually said that Emmanuel Clase, minutes before taking the mound for the Cleveland Guardians, like, he was on the phone with a guy where they were coordinating what he was going to do on the mound. And then he went out there and did it. And the guy got rich, or not rich, but he made like $12,000, $15,000 just by getting that little bit of a tip. And you can't do that. And now between the two of these dudes, they could face individually a maximum of 65 years in federal prison. Now, is it really worth it? Apparently, they were trying to help out some buddies in the Dominican Republic in certain parts or certain times to, you know, tell their friends, well, oh, man, if I throw a ball, you can get paid. Yeah, let me go out there and throw a ball. It's really that simple. And let's go back before we go forward. I'm going to tell you what Major League Baseball did today to try to change and alter things. But if you go back to the summertime when this news broke, the manager of the Guardians, Stephen Vogt, who only a few years ago, man, he was playing in the big leagues. He was basically asked, do the players need to learn more? Does baseball need to tell the players about, you know, some of the risks in doing this? Listen to what he said.
I think we do a great job of informing. I mean, as a player, you know exactly what the parameters are.
Well, we do a good job. How about that? Completely different than what we heard from Jaylen Brown in the NBA. Yeah, Jaylen Brown, who's just leaving his mark with that hair paint that he has, that Beijing. Yeah, that Jaylen Brown said the complete opposite. He said the NBA doesn't do a good enough job of educating the players and letting us know it's all about making the gambling money, but it's not about what we can do. And Stephen Vogt is like, nah, we know enough. And everybody knows. If you're going to be out here throwing games, throwing altering your performance to make money or allowing somebody else to make money, if you're going to damage the integrity of the game, if you're going to throw a game or your performance, you're messing up the money. You can go to prison. And I know that sounds very elementary. You mean to tell me that I can get in trouble for throwing it? Yes, man. Yes, you can. Because they start putting those financial charges on you. You're a part of throwing the system. You're a part of screwing up the money. You know, you're exchanging money and participating in criminal activity. Yeah, you can pay for that, too. I know it sounds nuts. You can pay for it. And so then you got Stephen Vogt, the manager of the Guardians. He got two pitchers on his team that allegedly were out here throwing games or their performance, just orchestrating what they were going to do on the mound for a financial gain. It becomes the WWE. And Stephen Vogt was asked, what fans should believe when they sit down and watch a game.
It makes it hard. I'm not happy, Hornsey. Like, this stinks. It's a different part of our game than we're dealing with, because it's legal and you don't know what's going on. You know, there's been a number of stories over the last year and a half related to this, and two of our guys are being investigated, and that hurts. You know, what I can say is that we're doing everything within our power to go out and play the game of baseball the right way every single night, and we talk to our players about that.
Yeah, well, listen, between Clase and Ortiz, they were on leave, and now they're going to be on leave potentially for a very, very long time. Now, let's think about this. Imagine you're just some dude in the Guardians locker room, and guys who show up to work, guys who've been in the locker room with for the past, you know, a couple of months or what have you, all of a sudden they're gone because they decided to try to help a couple guys get rich quick. Like, this is a rough way to get put behind bars. And so you think about what's going on in the locker room. Months ago, Stephen Vogt was asked about, what the hell do you tell your team?
Yeah, I mean, Chris and I both spoke to the staff first and then the full team. This stinks. It hurts. It's not something we saw coming, not something that we anticipate. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be hurting. But we're in this together. And it's just another reminder that this game is fragile. This game is special. And, you know, it was just a reminder of we have to do this together. And we're going to get through it. But it's going to be hard.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Well, that's from the team's perspective. Major League Baseball is, I don't want to say trying to get ahead of this, but they want to maintain the integrity of the game. They want to prevent anybody from getting up, waking up and saying, we're going to game the system to make money. We're going to try to manipulate the players. We're going to have the players manipulate their performances just so we can get paid. And so we learned today that Major League Baseball is working with and collaborating with the sports books to change some of the things that you can or cannot bet on when it comes to baseball. So, for instance, baseball, along with FanDuel, DraftKings, etc., they have agreed to a nationwide limit on $200 wagers for individual pitches. Okay? That's it. $200 down, no mas. Also, when it comes to parlays, you know, trying to put together a string of bets and hit it big, bets on individual pitches are now banned from being included in any parlay. So any bet that combines multiple wagers, you can't do that when it comes down to pitching. Okay, Major League Baseball is just trying to avoid any pitcher going out there saying that, yeah, if I throw a strike and if it's 100 miles per hour, then you, Bobby in Tampa Bay or Bobby in the Dominican Republic, you can get rich because you had the matching combination. And obviously the players would definitely go out there and get a piece. Listen, this is going to happen again. Okay, if we go back 100 years to the Black Sox, we had dudes who were out there throwing games. We got Pete Rose, God rest his soul. He was out here gambling on games. It's going to happen. It's not going to change. And I don't think we've gone down a slippery slope enough where all of a sudden everybody's going to stop gambling. It's just, it's too much money. We've heard about this dating back to the summertime. in July, and here we are in November with these two players. Forget the investigation. Like, one of them has been arrested, and when they can identify where the hell Emmanuel Clase is, I'm pretty sure he'll be in handcuffs sooner than later. Botcher, ain't no surprises here, man. And I guess it's only going to be a matter of time before we have another incident like this.
I understand why they do it to help others, but if you're sitting in a meeting every year telling you not to do it, and they probably tell you now the consequence is 65 years in prison, you'd assume that it would click. And eventually, with other sports and other people getting caught, you wouldn't do it anymore. It's just the players who are going to do it, they're going to put the situation on themselves. So the people who will be weeded out are idiots. So that's going to happen. But at the same time, you can protect yourself by not doing it in the first place. And even still, the MLB limiting this, trying to get rid of prop bets and parlays and lowering it, that's just dumb as well. Because if you make, 50 people bet $200, you still can make profit off of it. It's just at a lower scale. It's not eliminating it forever. It's just a whole bunch of things where you don't want to lose the gambling sponsorship and you're afraid to do that. So you kind of give it a small tweak. And I just don't understand that.
Well, it ain't going anywhere. There's always going to be somebody that thinks that they can get ahead of the system. No one's going to find out about my phone call. I mean, the leagues have systems that can kind of detect out of the ordinary bets. Like, it's really that simple. It's not that difficult, but I think some people think, hey, if I make a phone call, nobody's paying attention. When it comes to money and tracking money and funds, especially at this scale, especially for gambling, somebody's always going to find out. So Emmanuel Clase, who was reliever of the year two times over, he's in the midst of a 5-year, $20 million contract. Okay? I don't know if he's going to get that money in prison. Probably the hell not. Let's see if he's guilty, though. Innocent until proven guilty, but it doesn't look good for Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase. Listen, people, don't cheat to get ahead. Not in baseball. Don't do that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation back to the NFL with Luke Easterling. He's going to come through and join us to talk about everything in the NFL. Okay, we got Monday Night Football underway between Green Bay and the Eagles. We're going to talk with Luke about everything in the league. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got Monday Night Football. It's underway. It's taking place in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay Packers hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that they haven't been able to defeat in their last three meetings. This could be a preview of the NFC Championship game. Now, obviously, we've talked a lot of football today, the firing of Brian Daboll, the Bills' disappointing loss last night or yesterday to the Dolphins. A lot of disappointing losses. The Steelers suffering one last night as well. There's just a lot going on in the NFL. To talk about all things taking place in the league, joining us right now is someone who covers the league for Athlon Sports. Welcome back to the show, Luke Easterling. Luke, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, JR. Glad to be back, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you here. I guess first, to give us a little bit of a preview on what's taking place tonight, this could be an NFC Championship game preview. What are your thoughts on where the Eagles and Packers currently are so far this season?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. At their best, I think we've seen both of these teams look like potential Super Bowl contenders, but at their worst, they've looked like teams that don't belong in the playoffs at all. I mean, just last week, we saw the Panthers come into Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers in their home field. I mean, we've seen the offense in particular in Philly to be completely stagnant for long stretches earlier in the season, and so these teams aren't without their flaws. You know, they have proven that if they're not bringing their A game, they are beatable by just about anybody, but they've got enough talent to rely on to bail them out most of the time. And so that's why I'm excited to see them both tonight. I want to see if they both bring the best of what they're capable of to the table, we should be in for a fantastic game. But if either of them decides to lay an egg, which we've seen them do before, again, you know, they've got injuries at multiple spots. You know, hopefully we get a marquee matchup tonight. We get to see, you know, Micah Parsons wrecking the game. We get to see all those playmakers in Philly making plays. We get to see Jordan Love, you know, making deep throws down the field. But I'm hopeful that that's what we get and not some of the disjointedness that we've seen from both of these teams at times this year.
Well, Luke, you talk about the ups and downs of two teams that we might see in the Super Bowl. We've had so much parity in the league this year. There doesn't appear to be one dominant team. What do you think that leads to? Are we just in the fully now post-Tom Brady era? Is that what it is? Why is there so much parity?
You know, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think part of it is there are more really, really good quarterbacks in the NFL than we've ever seen at one time. I think even at most, you know, down the stretch toward, you know, probably the back half of Brady's career when we had that run of, you know, Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger playing at a high level while he and Peyton were still putting up big numbers. Like, we've had, you know, five or six guys at a time, but man, there's 10, 12, 14 quarterbacks that in any given day are playing at an extremely high level. And even some of the ones that are inconsistent, they're so talented that you're still tuning in every week to see what they're going to do if they bring what they're best at to the table. So I think it starts with really, really good quarterback play. And obviously injuries have kind of, you know, dinged that a little bit so far this season, but a couple years ago, you have a draft where you have Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May at the top, all coming into the league at the same time. You got Bo Nix and JJ McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. who have been inconsistent, but they're still so talented. You want to see what they're going to do. I think that has a lot to do with it, but I think honestly that the fun part is I think you see offensive and defensive coordinators always trying to push the envelope, always trying to stay one step ahead of the other side of the ball. And so you're seeing some of these coaches trying to innovate in new ways. They're trying to find the next big thing and stay one step ahead of their counterparts. And that challenge to try to one-up each other on a weekly basis, it leads to what we're seeing, which is the fact that no team has really emerged as a dominant team this year. We've got the Chiefs who have won 9 straight division titles. They're third place in their own division. You know, you've got the AFC North, which we were supposed to be dominant this year. It hasn't been dominant, but now you've got Baltimore, who was without Lamar Jackson for a month. They've won 3 in a row, and now they're right back into it. Now the Steelers are sliding back a little bit. You got Joe Burrow coming back to practice this week, so the Bengals are like, hey, we've been super bad this year. We have the worst defense in the NFL. We still have a legit shot to win this division. So I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but I think the winner in all of this is the fan, because we're going to get so much meaningful football down the stretch where so many teams are going to be in the playoff hunt later than we're used to seeing, and I think that's great for the game.
And Luke Easterling is here with us for Athlon Sports, covers all things football, all things NFL. You talk about how crowded things are in the AFC North. We saw the Steelers with that ugly loss yesterday, bad performance by Rodgers against the Chargers. Burrow comes back to practice. The Ravens are rolling. What team or what two teams do you think are best positioned to actually come out of the AFC North? Is it just going to be one team? Nobody gets a wild card? Like, what do you think this is going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man, because any team that emerges from that, obviously somebody's going to win by default. But if there's a second team that's going to have to emerge into that playoff hunt, every one of those teams has a fatal flaw that they have got to figure out an answer for down the second half of the season, right? For Baltimore, you're getting Lamar Jackson back, so you should have the offense running on all cylinders, and that's great. That defense has been awful for a lot of the first half of the season, and we haven't been able to say that about a Ravens defense in decades. Like, we most of their existence, the Ravens could at least hang their hat on a dominant or at least a stout defense, and that just hasn't been the case this year. So if they want to be the team that runs away with this division, that defense is going to have to get things figured out really, really quickly. If you're the Bengals, yeah, that's great. Joe Burrow's going to come back. Even before he got injured, that defense was so bad that it didn't matter that he was throwing for all those yards. We just saw it a couple weeks ago with Joe Flacco. He was throwing for 400 yards and four touchdowns, and they still found a way to lose. Like, there's so many things that each of these teams needs to do. Cleveland, dominant defense at times. But they traded away Joe Flacco because they wanted to go with these young guys. Dylan Gabriel hasn't shown them anything at all. He's looked like the late-round pick most of us expected him to be and thought he should be. I don't know how much longer they're gonna kick that can this season before they at least give Shedeur Sanders a shot to show something. Because if this is the best we're gonna get from Dylan Gabriel, they need to give Shedeur Sanders at least a shot to show something so that they know going into next year's draft, hey, that both of those picks didn't work out. We need to spend another one higher to get a quarterback. They got to see what they got in that room. But that defense is great. It doesn't matter because they don't have the quarterback. And then in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers playing way better than we ever saw him play for the Jets in the time he was there. But they've got DK Metcalf, and that's about it on offense. There's no, like, secondary playmaker that if everybody's going to focus on taking away DK, there's nobody else that can step into that void. And at receiver, there's nobody that can take advantage of the one-on-one opportunities that he presents. The running backs have been okay but not great. The offensive line has been okay but not great. The defense has been inconsistent. T.J. Watt is still doing his thing. They're still getting after the quarterback, but they're, you know, they've been banged up. They haven't created enough takeaways. There's always something that it's like, yeah, but with all four of those teams. So somebody's going to win it by default. But if somebody else wants to emerge and take one of those those wild card spots, they're going to have to figure out that other part of the game that they just haven't figured out so far.
Well, Luke, you talk about figuring anything out. I mean, we see the Buffalo Bills. They've now been jumped by the New England Patriots, who are on a 7-game winning streak. You talk about wide receivers. Do you think the Buffalo Bills might finish second to the New England Patriots due to their lack of weapons? And what are your thoughts on what's going on in the AFC East?
Yeah, I think it's a lack of weapons, but I think it's also the defensive side of the ball. They really don't have the corners to run with a lot of these high-powered offenses. They don't really have a true shutdown corner. I really haven't had one since Trey White before his knee injury a couple years ago. They haven't had that type of presence, and they really miss Von Miller's ability to close games as a pass rusher. They have some guys that have, again, flashed at times and at moments, but there's just nobody that can take over a game, can get that clutch third down sack and get them off the field. So some of that responsibility falls on the defensive side of the ball. But on offense, I mean, it's just the inconsistency. It's Josh Allen seems to be able to rise to the occasion and elevate everybody at times, but the Dolphins game was a prime example. That just didn't happen. If all of it continues to fall on him, he's proven that he can do it at times, but he's not going to do it every time. And if you expect him to do it week in and week out, a couple of times a season, you're going to have a game like we just saw against the Dolphins where he's not enough by himself to do that. You've got James Cook as a way to balance out the offense, but Khalil Shakir is a number two type of wide receiver. He's not a take over the game type of guy. Keon Coleman was kind of drafted in hopes that he would develop into that guy by now. And while we've seen moments from him, we saw one from him on Sunday in that game where he made a nice play on a deep ball, made a great touchdown. But it's the consistency that they're chasing with those playmakers that they still just haven't been able to find. So the Bills' plan is literally, hey, Josh, go save us. And if that doesn't happen, then they're not going to be able to do it. And if you contrast that with what New England is doing right now, New England is just a more complete team. Mike Vrabel is getting more out of his defense than Sean McDermott is getting out of his in Buffalo. And Drake May, if I had an MVP vote, which I don't, I'd probably give it to Matthew Stafford right now. But Drake May would be 1B. He is playing out of his mind in his second NFL season. He's playing like a seasoned veteran. And that offense is starting to hum, and he's a big reason why they're doing so well. They're just a more balanced, more well-rounded team than Buffalo is right now, and they are ascending. They're moving in the right direction. Buffalo's got a lot to figure out if they want to catch them.
Yeah, Drake May is moving along. Matthew Stafford with another game where he's out here throwing four touchdowns like it's nothing. So much for that back issue that he had in the season. These are two teams, Luke, that are moving in a positive direction. Obviously, we learned earlier today that the Giants have gotten rid of Brian Daboll. I didn't expect that one. Do you think there's a possibility that Kafka ends up keeping the job next season, or do you think there's some other candidates that are realistic for the New York Giants job?
This is what I'll say about the Giants. The Giants have had six head coaches, interim guys included, since 2016. And so what that tells you is, and they haven't been successful at all during that time, it tells you that the problem is bigger than the head coach. It's the people who keep picking the wrong head coach over and over and over and over. These problems are organizational problems that have to get figured out before you're even deciding who the head coach is, because clearly your process is flawed at this point. Like, that evidence is clear to you that whatever process we're using to come to these decisions needs, that's what needs to change first before we decide what's going to happen. Cause obviously if you're going to allow the same process to keep playing out, you can't expect anything but the same results. And so this particular firing is frustrating for me, because if you go back and look a couple years ago, they did exactly what the Chicago Bears showed you shouldn't do when they drafted Caleb Williams number one overall, and then they kept Matt Eberflus instead of firing him and starting over at that point. And obviously it's worked out because they ended up with Ben Johnson. But when you're a team that has on a lame duck head coach that has already proven to you over two full seasons that he's not the guy, keeping him for a third season and allowing him to draft a first-round quarterback, which the Giants did in Jackson Dart this year. And again, Jackson Dart has flashed some great potential, and he might have a chance. But he's also been evaluated for a concussion four times in 9 weeks. And so those concerns with how they're using him and not necessarily protecting him, maybe it's a coaching thing where he needs to go to like spring training and learn how to slide or something, like protect this young man's health. All of that to say, what should be done eventually must be done immediately. I've always felt that way when it comes to head coaching. Why let a guy hang on for another half a season when you should have made that decision in the off season? I think the Giants are finding that out. Regardless of who they get, whether it's Clint Kubiak in Seattle, who's doing a great job with that offense, he's going to be a hot candidate this year. I don't know if Mike McDaniel's going to stay on in Miami. He'll be an offensive coordinator somewhere probably next year instead of a head coach. But there will be options. But I think for the Giants, there's a much bigger question in, especially it looks like they're going to let Joe Shane, the general manager, make this hire again. Like, you have a bigger issue at hand, which is that you don't know how to pick the right guy in the first place. So you need to figure that out first before you worry about who that guy's going to be.
Yeah, this is far off from what the New York Giants are used to. I mean, they've gotten used to being pretty mediocre and bad over the past several years. But as a history of the organization, certainly not. Hey, Luke, we appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they could follow you or your work with Athlon. Fill us in.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I always have a good time on the show. You can find my stuff at athlonsports.com. I also have a weekly podcast covering the NFL draft called The First Round Conversation. You can find that on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, video, audio. We've got it all for you. So every week we cover the NFL draft, so you can see college football stuff, NFL stuff on that show. Every week at athlonsports.com, I have a new mock draft every Tuesday morning. Right now it's expanded to two rounds, so I'm projecting the first two rounds of next year's draft every Tuesday morning at athlonsports.com. You can catch that. I do a stock report every Sunday morning where I look at the Saturday games and tell you which prospects are moving up and down the board, who you need to get to know. So especially if you're a fan of one of those teams that's already disappointed with this season and looking ahead to next year, definitely keep it locked there and get yourself ready for the draft. Look at the players that your team might be able to add next April.
And we appreciate your expertise, man. We got a regular season game going on. We're thinking about next year. Hey, Luke, we appreciate it, man. We'll catch you soon, okay?
Hey, my pleasure, JR. Take care, my man.
No doubt about it. Shout-outs to Luke Easterling for joining us. Covers all things NFL for Athlon Sports and more. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And we got a Monday Night Football game going on right now, this minute, this second. When we come back on the other side of the break, you know, Luke had mentioned that the Steelers and the direction that they're going in right now didn't look good last night against the Chargers. We'll take a listen to how upset their head coach and their quarterback was last night. And then he mentioned Mike McDaniel. Things have been bad for the Miami Dolphins throughout the course of the season. I guess you got to find the small victories when you can. We'll talk about the Steelers and the Dolphins on the other side of the break. Yeah, there's a lot going on. But right now it's time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Luke Easterling for joining us from Athlon Sports. In the last break to pretty much break down the entire NFL. Well, at least the most important stories, what's going on in the league. There's certainly a lot going on, as we just heard in the news flash from Rich Ackerman. We know that we got a Thursday. Damn it. Bacha, how the hell did I get to Thursday already?
Good question. Maybe it's because the football week flew by and you just thought it was Thursday?
Man, I'm just trying to, maybe I'm trying to hit the fast forward button another week. You know, there's so much to do. As it stands right now on Monday Night Football, we're getting ready for the second quarter. Green Bay, Philadelphia, nothing to nothing. 0-0. 0-0 here as we get ready for the start of the second quarter. Expecting this one to be a good one. So, you know, we'll keep you up to date, of course, as we continue on with this show. And, you know, we talked a lot about the goods and the bads, and everybody has their ups and their downs. You know, we spent a lot of time this season just really dumping on the Miami Dolphins, and with good reason. Okay, Mike McDaniel is basically a lame duck head coach. Chris Greer, the GM, he's been fired. Tyreek Hill goes down. His leg got blown to high hell. Tua Tagovailoa is putting his foot in his mouth. They're trading away some of their key defensive players. But we talked about the Bills, you know, ending up on top. Or excuse me, the Bills losing yesterday to Miami. Shocking everybody. 30-13, all the turnovers that they had. And because we always just take a dump on Miami with good reason, I got to show them some love. You know, why not? A little bit of something for everybody. Life is about balance. All of a sudden, Mike McDaniel is talking about Tua's leadership. And just a couple weeks ago, Tua was throwing a whole team under the bus for their practice habits.
I know the mental toughness of him because of his ability to flourish in those types of situations. He was the captain and the leader this game, and I thought he did. He showed the way to the team by, I asked him to be aggressive.
Okay, yeah, this is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He sounds so sure of himself. One thing apparently that he was sure of, and he had to address this with the media today. The game took place in Miami, and after he left the stadium, he apparently drove by a Bills bar down in Miami, of Florida, hang out for Bills fans, and he took some time to kind of keep his window rolled down and kind of troll Bills fans. And today, Mike McDaniel was asked about that, and I guess for all the misery he's had to endure throughout the course of the season, I guess you got to have fun when you can, huh?
Well, you know, that's why I like the good old days, you know, the throwbacks of yore where you could trust, you know, the internet and the images, because, you know, that is pretty detailed. That, you know, I do live in that area, but, I mean, AI, right?
So that doesn't answer the question.
What? I mean,
are you confirming or denying?
I mean, I live in that area. AI is real. That's what I got for you.
Okay. One of the things that stood out to me about the game was that.
No, for the record, I did not answer it. That's the punchline of the humor.
Oh, boy. There's a punchline. So, yeah, he was out there trolling fans in the neighborhood, and now he wants to bring up artificial intelligence as the reason why, you know, they went out there and, the reason why he was trolling. Yeah, what a way to blame AI. Yeah, well, listen, it's been a crap season. you might as well. Speaking of crap, last night, the Steelers are now 5-4. That game sucked to watch yesterday as Aaron Rodgers only completed about 51% of his passes, and we saw safeties. It was just bad. Two interceptions from Aaron Rodgers. And then after the game, I told you life is about balance. If we're going to talk about something positive for the Miami Dolphins, we got to get into the negative with the Steelers. Just bad all the way around. Mike Tomlin asked by a reporter what he thought of Aaron Rodgers' performance, and Mike Tomlin flipped the script.
How would you assess Aaron's performance tonight?
How would you?
Next.
Damn. How would you rate Aaron's performance tonight? How would you? Damn, Mike Tomlin's just, he's just too through. Mike Tomlin said the whole team sucked, not just Aaron Rodgers.
We as an offensive collective were off today, and certainly he's a component of that. I'll let him speak for himself, but we certainly got to be better. Didn't feel like they did anything unanticipated, but certainly they outperformed us, particularly in possession down play.
Well, damn it, let's just hear from Aaron Rodgers then. Hey, Aaron, what the hell happened? Like, you out there missing throws, the run game, that just everything stunk. What happened, man?
You know, I missed DK early. Could have been a big play, a little high to Jono. But yeah, we didn't, didn't run the ball super effectively in the first half. I missed, obviously, some throws for sure.
Oh, yeah, you missed some throws. 50%? Oh, my God. Yeah, yesterday he played like an old man. Aaron, let's get to brass tacks here. You sucked, right? You gonna do better?
Yeah, I expect to play great every single week, and this was not my best performance. I got to play better than this for us to win. Whatever it takes, I got to make a, if it's better checks, if it's better throws, whatever it is, I got to play better. I will.
Well, at least he's criticizing himself. I mean, typically in past years, Aaron Rodgers would criticize everybody as much as he did himself. So at least this time there's some honesty here, a little bit of being genuine. Next up for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got the Bengals. And no, don't expect to see Joe Burrow back. It appears that he's targeting a Thanksgiving return against the Ravens. And so, looking at a Steelers team that's now 5-4, things have pretty much opened up. The Ravens, 3-game winning streak. The Bengals hoping and waiting for the return in a couple of weeks of Joe Burrow. Hey, Mike Tomlin, are you worried about, the Steelers?
I'm not lacking confidence. I don't need a pat on the back. We stunk it up tonight. We'll be back.
It happens. The Steelers will be fine. Steelers will get into the postseason. Steelers will be eliminated. Wash, rinse, repeat. Fans will be calling for Mike Tomlin to be fired. What else is new? It's just par for the course when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're good. But are they good enough to win a championship? The answer is no. No, not at all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you an update on what's going on with the Eagles and Packers for Monday Night Football. We'll also give you a wrap-up of everything we've discussed here in the show. And then how about this? The Rookie of the Year has been crowned in both the American and National Leagues. Not all bad news. It's not all about gambling when it comes to baseball. The gambling is the bigger news. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.